Wonderful. Oh, and I see people wander around and say hello and that sort of stuff. Always intrigued what people speak about, but we can continue our fellowship after the service. We'll have teas and coffees down here, so very welcome to join us. So we've heard a little bit about what the young people kind of appreciated about their fathers, and now I've got some quotes about when parents speak, fathers speak, what they really mean, as opposed to what they say. And you might be a father, or you've sure had a father or fatherly figure kind of speak to you. So this is what it means. So when a dad says, maybe, what it really means is probably not. That's what it means. Maybe definitely means probably not. We'll see means that's not going to happen. Thank you, Daisy. That is not going to happen. And when a dad says, I love that outfit you've put together, it really means you're not going out like that, are you? When a dad says, where did you hear that? It means I think someone's kidding you. When he says, one day you'll thank me, what he means is hopefully you forget this has ever happened. When he says, wow, that's great, sweetie, what it really means is, I have no idea what you've just said. When a dad says, because I said so, it means I have no good reason to say no. So when a dad says, just a second, what he really means is, I'm not going to stop watching TV for this. When he says, go and ask mum, what he really means, let her say no for once. And when a dad says, yes, you do sound like Taylor Swift, what he really means is, please let my child have other talents. And when a dad says, I love you, what he really means is, there's nothing greater on earth that I love more than you. Now, Floyd McClung, I don't know if you've heard of Floyd McClung, he worked with Youth for a Mission. He's from Amsterdam, he's a very tall guy, and in the 1980s, he wrote a book called The Father Heart of God. And it sold millions and millions of copies. And for us today, we probably think, why would that stand out? I'm not too sure why it stood out, but just brought fresh revelation of understanding God as our Father, that people wanted to buy that book. Now, Floyd McClung, like I say, he worked for an organization called Youth for the Mission, a very tall man. And he got involved in mission on what was known as the hippie trail. Between 1957 and 1978, people from Europe, young people in their early 20s, would travel in vans that had run down, or buses, or cars that weren't really fit for purpose, and they'd travel to the Far East, to India, Afghanistan, Nepal, and places like that, in order to find themselves, to have some kind of spiritual awakening. And it was kind of young people that are traveling that way, just feeling lost about what their lives was about. And he kind of became a hippie himself, dressed like one, and engaged in mission. And that came to an end, and because he was from Amsterdam, him and his wife and his whole family moved into the red light district in Amsterdam. And visit the red light district because I was over there on a mission, and because it was such a touristy thing, the family thought, well, let's go and show Phil the red light district. There we go. Anyway, so I closed my eyes walking around as much as possible. But what was interesting is that for every couple of Brussels, there was a Christian mission outreach. For every two or three. And it was as if God had laid these people on his heart. And as Jesus said, you know, He'd not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And Floyd McClung, and he just had this father's heart, just people who felt lost. God had his father's heart for them. And when Jesus was around praying, and people saw how he prayed, they couldn't get over it. They couldn't get over how he related to his father. And therefore, it's been said many times, the one thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them was to pray, because they saw how he prayed. And he said, when you pray, he said something that we now know as the Lord's Prayer. And as has been said, it's not something that necessarily is there to recite, but because it links with what I want to share this morning, we are going to say it together. So I think it's going to come up on the screen, the Lord's Prayer. And I'd like us, maybe we could stand to pray this together. You might not have done this since school days, that's fair, fine. But this kind of fits with the Bible reading that we're going to look at. Let's see if we can get the pace right together. That'll be really good. Let's say it out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you for that. Please do take your seats. So what I want to look at this morning, so the Bible says that God is love, but I want to share a few different ways that God demonstrates his love to us as a father. And they all begin with the letter P. Some of you have heard of the love languages, haven't you? By Gary Chapman coined that people like to receive love in different ways because we're all different. And God demonstrates his love in many different ways. And I'm going to pick out five. We might only have time for four. If I take a long time, we might only have time for three. Anyway, we'll see how we go. And so God demonstrates his love to us in many different ways. And firstly, he demonstrates it by bringing his presence to us. Now, we call ourselves Encounter Church. It's not a better name than any other church, but we like to emphasize the fact that God presents himself with us, that we can engage with him, that we can encounter him, that we can know something of his presence. We don't always go on feelings, but we can do that. And he says, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And hallowed simply means your name is holy. And so it's great to start. He said, you know, our Father in heaven, but hallowed and holy is your name. Just amazing that God, who is holy and awesome, will come and presence himself with us. Sometimes we know fathers who distance themselves a little bit, but God does everything in his power to draw close to us. And in King David, even in the Old Testament, picks up on this. I'm going to read one or two verses from Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10. And these are verses that are very well quoted and well known. You might not have known where they came from. But Psalm 139, verse 7 to 10, it says this. King David says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. I remember a preacher, a guy called Bill Hybels, and had his problems over the years, but just a great pastor, and founded the church in Willow Creek, Chicago. 15,000 people were going to their church. I had the privilege of visiting him. But I remember hearing him speak, and he's talking about his children that were going to go off to university or to work. He had a son and a daughter, similar to Wendy and I have. And I remember him saying that before they left home, he would sit them down and he'd look them in the eyes and say, you're going off here, you're leaving home, you're going away, but I want you to know that if any time you're in trouble and got an issue and you need me, I will be there. I will drop everything to be with you. And I did that with our children when they left home because they went off to university and they could have stayed in Newcastle. Wendy was keen that they left home because of just the experience for different reasons. But I sat them down and I said to them, David, and then when it was Amy, wherever you are in the world, at any time, at any point, and you're in trouble, we will be there. We will get there. And any parent would have that kind of heart. And that's God's heart. You know, so God says, you know, David says, you know, and David, he'd had his problems, but he says, you know, where can I go from your presence? Because if I go to the far side of the sea, then I will be there. And I'm delighted that we have so many people that have traveled overseas to join us here at Encounter Church. And I'm delighted that for some of you, you didn't know that God was real, but now that you do. Because even the far side of the sea, even when you go home, he will be there. And some of you may be fearful of going home. You think, well, it's great to be part of a church, you know, encounter God. But he'll be there. Wherever you go, he will be there. And David says, even when I go into the depth, into the dark places, I know, Lord, you will be there. You will be with me. It was once when Wendy and ourselves, we were traveling into London to see my father, my dad. He lived down there. And we were traveling in from Blackheath into the centre of London to meet him. We were going to go to the Science Museum. And we, well, there's four of us, and our trip was really organised. I mean, Wendy's a teacher. It was very organised, this trip. And when we got to the train station, we walked in twos because she was very well organised, very well organised. And we got on the train and sat in the carriage, and it was kind of half empty. And Wendy was showing David, who's 6 years old, where we were going in London. And she says, we're going to Trafalgar Square here and this other place here, and we're going to Buckingham Palace here, where the Queen lives. So David, you could see he was starting to think about it because he likes maps. And he thought about it. And he says to Wendy, he says, the Queen lives here. And then he said, where does God live? Thinking that if the Queen lived in London, then God must live in London. That was his. He's only young. There we go. But the thing is, when you've got a six-year-old, they want an answer. So he kept saying, Mummy, where does God live? Where does God live? Where does God live? And his voice was quite loud. And Wendy did what any mother would do at that situation. She said, ask your dad. So he wouldn't let this go. And you could tell that other people in the carriage were loving this, that this kid was saying to his dad, where does God live? Where does God live? Somehow he's going to have to answer. But what they didn't realize is that daddy is an evangelist. So if my son was going to know where God lived, then the whole carriage was going to know where God lives. So I said, son, it's like this. God lives everywhere, which is true, isn't it? Go to the far side of the sea, he's there, and in the depths, he is there. And then for about 5 minutes, I'm sure my son looked at me over the next 5 minutes and thought, I wish I hadn't asked. As I explained where God lives. In a sense, God is everywhere, isn't he? But where he really is in the hearts of people who put the trust in him. He really is there on a permanent basis. For those who believe in him, they receive him. He gives the power to become children of God. If I go to the far side of the sea, he's there. If I'm in the depths, he is there. So God demonstrates his love for us. His father heart draws us through his presence. Secondly, he demonstrates his love to us by bringing his peace. By bringing his peace. And the primary way that God brings his peace to us is through forgiveness. Peace with God is such an important thing. Such an powerful thing. There's many aspects to peace, but the most important aspect is this. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. His complete forgiveness is what we needed more than anything else, and we need more than anything else. As far as the east is from the west, so our transgressions are taken from us. He is able to save completely those who come to the Father through him. He will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God demonstrates his love in this, that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died. So the most powerful way that God demonstrates his love for us is his peace, his forgiveness. Now, in the New Testament, we're not too sure whether, you know, sinners or saints. Those who become Christians, are we sinners or are we saints? It's wonderful that the Apostle Paul refers to us as saints, doesn't he? Now, we might not always feel saintly, but he refers to us as people who are truly forgiven, who belong to the Lord Jesus, who have been forgiven, that we are saints. And God's forgiveness is something that we continuously step out and take hold of, something that we continuously need to receive. Now, it's interesting in the Lord's Prayer, as we're talking about the prayer about forgiveness, Lord, forgive us our sins, trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, many theologians have discussed this. Does God only forgive us if we've forgiven other people? Now, I remember Andy, one of our elders, talking about this a couple of years ago and did a great sermon on this. I'm not going to go into it all now. But let me say this. I found Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones very helpful with this, because in the Matthew chapter 5 and 6, we have the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Beatitudes, and one of the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." Now, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he delved into this and said, you know, does that mean then that God will not be merciful to us if we've not shown mercy to other people? And his point was that if it depends on our goodness, then what Jesus did on the cross is not effective. So it can't be to do with our good works. But his point was this, I thought it was helpful, that if we're not merciful to other people, we have really not appreciated the level of mercy that God has shown us. That's why we're merciful, because God has been incredibly merciful to us. How can we not be so merciful to other people? And God's forgiveness, even though we're completely clean, is a continuous thing as we receive peace from us, and something that we definitely need. And God wants us to experience it. Now, Jumetta, this morning, over here, there we go. I was intrigued when he said at the start that God can cleanse us and forgive us from our biggest regret or our biggest mistake. And I've heard somebody say that before. God can. Do you know, sometimes our biggest mistake for many of us is after we become Christians rather than before. It's not always before. Often it is after. And God's capacity to cleanse us and bring peace despite our biggest mistake and biggest regret is amazing. Because sometimes we can still beat ourselves up, or the devil can still beat us up with this. And I think I mentioned this story before, but I will share it again. Is that I once was involved in a mission trip myself, not on the hippie trail or in the red light district, but in Copenhagen. And there's a conference of about 1,000 young people. I was young once, and I was there, and as a young leader. And the idea is that get trained up and worship during the day, then during the night you'd go into Copenhagen, have these coffee bars, invite people back, share the gospel. Just fantastic. People from all over Europe there. But there's one girl there that was Danish called Mar-Brit. And she had a really pretty face. And my friend who I went with, Melvin, noticed this. He loved Jesus, but he loved Mar-Brit as well. So notice how good looking she was. And but she had a face that was just so downcast. It was unbelievable. She looked so sad. She walked round with her head down as if she didn't deserve to be there, didn't deserve to be part of this. Obviously seemed to struggle to get into worship. Definitely a Christian, but something was not working for her. So my friend Melvin wanted to find out why, so he talked to Mar-Brit's sister, and this is what happened. This is what he found out. That when Mar-Brit was about 14 years old, she was babysitting for another sister's little girl who was about 3 or 4. And they'd been playing around in the house downstairs. Mar-Brit went out of the room, came back in, and couldn't see the little girl. And so she looked around the downstairs and she wasn't there, and then looked around upstairs, wasn't there. Went out into the garden, couldn't see her. Went to the bottom of the garden, looked over the fence, and somebody had been was burning some rubbish. And she looked over the fence, and this her little niece was lying face down in this fire. So Marbury just dives over the fence, as he were, burns, scalds her hands, getting the little girl out of the fire, brings her back into the house, and the little girl's face was burnt. And, I mean, fortunately, over the years, the burns kind of recited, but her sister, who she's babysitting for, forgave her, but the grandmother just couldn't forgive her for it. And Margaret would just had this hanging over her. So even though she loved Jesus, wanted to share the gospel, just felt that she had no right. It was such a big mistake that she let the family down. Now, Melvin, my friend, found out about this. It was quite late at night. I was quite tired. I went to bed. Melvin decided that he wanted to pray with Margaret, with her other sister. And I have to say, the next morning, I was just absolutely amazed when I came down for breakfast that the transformation in Margaret was so stark that something incredible had lifted off her. Now, I'm not saying everything happens overnight like this, but sometimes knowing the peace of God and peace with yourself can be transformational. And it's not as if Margaret doesn't think about what happened, but she's at peace with God and with other people. And I know she became a full-time Christian worker. She travels around Europe sharing her faith. But one of the greatest ways that God demonstrates his love to us as a father is through the peace he gives us through forgiveness. And sometimes, even when other people don't forgive us, God forgives us. Even though sometimes we don't forgive ourselves, in 1 John it says that God is greater than our hearts, more powerful than our hearts. And he brings his peace, that release of forgiveness. So when Jimetta shared that today, I thought it was really good. Even your greatest mistake, greatest regret, our Father will bring peace within our hearts through his forgiveness. So moving on very quickly, we'll see how many we get through. So the third area I want to mention that God brings his love and demonstrates his love as his father by bringing his provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God loves to provide for us. I'm sure if we opened the mic up today and we just had testimonies of God providing, some people think it's kind of normal things, but we know when it's God, don't we? We know when God has provided, when God's hand is upon it. The fact that we've got it is good, but the fact that God has provided it is wonderful, isn't it? Just fantastic that we know this is from him. He's incredibly generous. And he likes us to be generous as well. He loves it when we're generous and reflect who he is. Now, I mentioned before, there's a couple of verses in Psalm 37 that are precious to myself and Wendy as a family. And verse 25, Psalm 37 says this: I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous, always lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. And God is so generous to us. He said, you know, when we were thinking about having children, we couldn't kind of afford it. Not that we were going to buy one, but we just couldn't quite, it cost, what is it now? £231,385 to bring up a child, apparently. I know. Those of you with five children, God bless you. Fantastic. Do you know, when I was reading this verse, that you'll never see them beg for bread, I did kind of smile and think, I'd love it if they just begged for bread. Wouldn't that be easy if they just begged for bread? But they've never kind of done that. It's always other things that they've asked for. But the Bible says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from our Father of heavenly lights, every good and perfect gift. And I want you to look that up. Why does it say Father of heavenly lights? What's that all about? And the reckon is that, you know, the sun is such a provision for us, isn't it? The sun itself is such a provision for us. I mean, the planet wouldn't be alive without the sun. It's in exactly the right place, or we're in exactly the right place. It's God's amazing provision, and he is the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Every good and perfect gift. So he provides for us practically, provides for us spiritually, and Jesus picks this up just after the Lord's Prayer, when he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he has given us everything we need in a very practical and a very spiritual sense. So I could have said more about that, but moving on because we got to number four. God demonstrates his love for us by bringing his purpose into his life. It's the fourth P. He brings his purpose into our lives. We pray, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God has given us a great purpose, hasn't he? I don't know about you growing up, but I used to think there's more to life than this, and there is. There's more to life than what the world will follow. Whatever the world can offer, God has a purpose for us, and that is wonderful. Rick Warren, who headed up the Saddleback Church over in California, and that was another very large church, he wrote a book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and it became a bestseller in America, even for people who weren't Christians, because they just loved the idea that there's purpose somewhere. So this title, The Purpose-Driven Life, Christians, but mainly non-Christians, wanted to buy this book, New York bestseller, because people want purpose. And God brings a purpose to our lives. The wonderful thing about Rick Warren, he made a lot of money out of it, and he didn't tithe 10%, the earnings, he gave away 90% of the earnings because he was so grateful for God. Well, the 10% was a lot anyway, but he gave away the 90% because it wasn't about money, it wasn't about success, because he knew that there was a higher purpose in which he had. So I love reading about Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament, and I love Abraham's calling. So I just want to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 12, if I may, the first four verses. Just want you to take hold of this morning. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever you curse, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. So the Lord has this vision for Abraham's life, and Abraham needed to go. And I just love the fact that Abraham just went when God said, and took the step that he needed to take. Now, you might be looking at me today and think, well, that was Abraham. I mean, God had just an amazing calling for him. How can I consider thinking that God has a purpose for my life to match that? Now, I remember one of my youth leaders in the early years when I became a Christian standing up at our youth meeting, and he said something that always stuck with me, and that was this: never be jealous of somebody else's experience of God. Never want to swap your relationship with God with somebody else's. Don't want to swap what God has for you for somebody else, because what God has for you will be sufficient. And God knows how to bring an incredible purpose for each one of our lives. And let me guarantee this, I don't know how old you are. However old you are, God has a purpose and a season for you now. He has something for you now. And the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. You might have been a Christian for many, many years. You might even think that your Christian life has become a little bit mundane. But let me say this. God's purpose for us will inevitably mean that at times we have to step out. We have to demonstrate faith. We have to move into something new. We can't just live in the past. Behold, I make all things new. Somebody once said, you know, you're not old because of age. You're old when you've climbed your last mountain, when you're not going to face the next thing that God has got for you. But God has a great purpose for you. And you might be thinking, oh, dear me, I'm not yet. God has got something for me. But you might be excited, but you still have to step out, still need to take that step. And I could say some more about that, but we're only on number four, and we've got number five to come. But God has a purpose for us. And finally, you've listened really well. God demonstrates his love for us by helping us to progress. God wants us to progress, not to stay as we are. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. God loves us as we are. We come as we are, but we don't stay as we are, because he wants us to progress, change from one degree of glory to another. He wants us to grow, to develop, to flourish. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6, it says this: have you completely forgotten his word of encouragement, like a father addresses his son? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he corrects everyone he accepts as a son. God says, I want what's best for you. What father would not want what's best for his children? So there's times when he'll bring discipline into our lives. So we might do that for our children, but I have a heavenly father who looks to bring discipline into my life, that I would change, that I would progress, that I'd become from one degree of glory to another. Now, there's many things that makes a father proud of their children. It might be sport, it might be education, it might be that they earn a lot of money, it might be their career. It could be many different things for different people. But let me mention one thing that makes God proud of us. In the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for they will see God. And then there's one that says this: blessed are the, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are the, for they will be called sons of God. I'll answer the question. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. In a world of incredible conflict, where relationships get broken down, where people don't treat each other very well, when we're in a situation and we bring peace into that, when we bring forgiveness into a situation, when we bring grace, I think God says, that's my boy. That's my girl. I'm really proud of you. We have the opportunity to live in the opposite spirit, don't we? I remember once somebody, as I was speaking at a youth weekend, there's a lot of youth groups getting together, and I made a bit of a joke about a game that was played, and I thought, oh, not too sure. We'll play that game somewhere else. And this girl, Liz, who's a very close friend of mine, she just said, Phil, because I said, you know, because one of the young leaders played this game, it didn't really work, and I kind of made a bit of a jokey comment, and she just turned to me very bluntly and said, Phil, you've got a bit of an edge, haven't you? And I thought, now, I could have defended myself, and I thought, wow, you're right. There's a bit of an edge there. And God wants, he loves to knock off the edges, doesn't he? Because he loves us so much. He wants us, you know, he doesn't want us to have that edge. You know, he wants us to be in situations, and, you know, maybe at work or within family situations, in group situations, where we act in the opposite spirit. You know, and he says, you know, that's my boy. That's my girl. The Apostle Paul, he says this, and I'll finish with this. He says, he talks about the authority that God has given him. And God gave the Apostle Paul an incredible amount of authority. We all have different responsibilities. But the Apostle Paul says this: the authority that the Lord has given me is to build up rather than to tear down. That is the authority that God has given any parent and any person. He's given us the authority to build up rather than to tear down. So God, you know, his compassion for us is so strong that his love releases these things within us. So there's many ways in which God demonstrates his love for us. He says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So I'd like us to pray this morning. I'm going to invite the band forward. They're going to lead us in one song in a moment. I know that I kind of spoke a little bit longer than try to cram in five different points. Apologize for that. But we are going to pray together as we bring this into a close. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a moment so not distracted by the band setting up and things. And let's just reflect on this for a moment just as we pray and bring this to a close. So the Lord talks about demonstrating his love by knowing his presence. In a moment, I'm going to invite people to stand concerning any one of these five things, whether you'd love to know something of God's love. And the first one is to know more of his presence, that maybe it's been a period where you've not known his presence and there's times when God allows that, but you're saying, God, I just need to know your presence at this time. For somebody, it could be that you need to know his peace, that his forgiveness, and to know that you're forgiven, or to know that you've forgiven yourself, but there's just something that has happened that keeps coming back upon you, and it's a heavy burden upon you. It could be a mistake, it could be a regret, but you just need to know the peace of God and forgiveness. It could be what you're reaching out for with this message is for God's provision, God to provide financially, or for God to provide accommodation, God to provide work. And that's your heart this morning, that you're praying, God, I just need you to provide. For some of you, maybe that just a lack of purpose, that you feel as if you're chasing after the wrong thing again, and you need to come back afresh to the purpose that God has for you. It might be something that God has laid on your heart, and you're saying, God, I know that you're asking this of me, you're giving me this, I need to step out and receive this. Or for some, it might be that there's just something that he wants to knock the edge off, just to bring a little bit of refining. And you might say to God this morning, God, I've heard you. I need you to allow, just to come in and soften my heart afresh. So just as people's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if any of those relate to you, we're not going to ask what it is. We want this to be a work of the Holy Spirit. And if any of those relate to you, you're reaching out to God for any of these things, why don't you stand to your feet, and then I will pray and we'll receive from the Lord this morning. You know, God is never out to get us. He's always out to save us, always out to bless us. He's so on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only son, how will he not graciously along with him give us everything that we need? So if any of those five things relate to you, God's presence, God's provision, God's peace, God's purpose, God's progress, God is, his heart is to bless you this morning. Why don't you just hold your hands out before the Lord this morning as I pray. It's a demonstration of faith, Lord, that we're going to receive what you have for us. Lord, thank you that you're here with us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you're working in us by your Holy Spirit. You graciously give your Spirit. You give us all things. And Lord, we do know that you know what is on your heart for us. And we do pray for our brothers and sisters this morning, that they would receive what you want to give them this moment in time. Lord, what they're reaching out to you for, we pray for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon them. May your grace flood. Lord, for those who are just seeking your presence, Lord, we pray that you'd go beyond what they can ask or imagine. For those, Lord, reaching out for your peace, your forgiveness, Lord, we pray for your forgiveness. And Lord, thank you that you say that we can say you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Lord, we pray for those who are reaching out to you for provision. And Lord, you know our needs before we even ask. But Father, we pray that you would provide in ways, in this way, that they will know it was you. It was only you that can have done this. We pray for that blessing. We pray for those, Lord, that would need a fresh purpose in life from you, fresh vision, a fresh calling, Lord, fresh excitement of following you. We pray that you'd release that afresh. And Lord, we pray for those of us who need just that odd edge knocking off. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us as we are. We want to reflect you as your children. We pray that you would soften our hearts afresh, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Wonderful. I'm going to invite everybody to rise to our feet. The band's going to lead us in one final song as we conclude our service. Those who have children to pick up from Encounter Kids, because we just went over slightly, you might want to go in and pick them up. But then we're going to sing this song to conclude our service. Thank you.
So we'll sing together, Good, Good Father.